In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few months ago, Carla and I started joining some friends about once a week at a local eating and drinking establishment for what is becoming more and more popular these days called pub trivia. And you form a team of friends and you answer all kinds of questions, and some of those questions are true and false, and most of them have to do with things that are really difficult to believe. Some things, right, are just so difficult to believe. So I found a couple of questions that I thought might give you a good idea of what I'm talking about. True or false? In West Virginia, USA, if you accidentally hit an animal with your car, you are free to take it home and eat it. True? Raise your hand if you think that's true. All right, wow, okay, well, guess what? It is true. The West Virginian state code says that wildlife killed or mortally wounded as a result of being accidentally or inadvertently struck by a motor vehicle may lawfully be possessed. Now, here's part B of that true and false question. I got a kick out of this. True or false? You can read more about this activity in Roadkill Cuisine magazine. True. It is true. Another very interesting thing that I found that you're going to love. True or false? Newlyweds in France are forced to drink leftovers from their wedding out of a toilet. True. This is a very old tradition in France called la soupe. After the bride and groom have left their wedding reception, the bridal party, friends, and family clean up the mess by gathering leftover food and drink and dumping it into a bedpan or toilet to make la soupe. They then make their way to the honeymoon suite and force the couple to drink part of the soupy mixture. Nowadays, the soup is more commonly made up of chocolate and champagne, but it is still served out of a toilet. The idea of this tradition was to give the bride and groom strength before their wedding night. I'm not sure if that would give me strength. It would be a very uneventful evening, I think. Some things are just hard to believe. Now, to draw this conclusion or to draw a connection between some silly trivia that is remarkably true, we here have a story of disciples that were following Jesus and couldn't do it any longer. We don't know what the duration of time was or anything, but one thing I think that we need to realize is that these were disciples of Jesus. These weren't random followers. These weren't random people in the crowds. John tells us specifically that there were disciples who followed Jesus who could no longer do such a thing. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Over the last few Sundays, this is the fourth and final Sunday that we hear from John's Gospel, Jesus' teaching about him being the bread of life, him giving himself physically over to the world to be the bread and wine, the flesh and blood to the world, the lifeblood of our own spiritual lives, of our own physical lives. And this teaching obviously is very difficult. You and I have heard these stories all of our lives. The Christian church has been telling them for 2,000 years. But try to imagine what this must have sounded like to the first ears that heard it. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. A very difficult teaching indeed. But I don't think it just stops at this one teaching. I don't think these folks turned around and left Jesus because he finally said this last sentence that caused them some kind of disturbance. Although it is disturbing language if we really open our minds up and listen to these words and listen to someone telling us this, it is disturbing. It's tough to believe. It's not something that we're just going to run off and just take advantage of and believe. It is a difficult teaching indeed, as John says. But I wonder about the discipleship in and of itself. How many of us, throughout our lives, through our Christian lives, have felt like we've done enough? That I did what I have had to do. I participated in ministry years ago. I've done my time. Or, and I have great respect and honor for so many of you who have been through so many challenges in life, how many times have we been tempted, and some people do this, walk away from their faith because of hardship. They lose a loved one after fervent prayer. Someone's illness isn't alleviated, no matter how hard we prayed. A relationship ends, no matter how much we prayed it would continue. We pray for things, or we hope for things, and we rest on God, and perhaps the outcome isn't what we think it should have been. Discipleship can be a tough thing to do. It can be a tough road to follow Jesus at times. But the hope in this gospel is actually one of the disciples who was wrong about so many things. Building booths at the Transfiguration, where Jesus thought that was ridiculous. I'm talking about Peter, who denies Jesus himself at his most desperate hour. Among other things, where Peter thought one thing, but Jesus had to once again teach him the opposite. It is Peter, of all disciples, when Jesus asks, "How about you? Do you also wish to go away?" And Jesus, in all of his grace and love of his people, would allow that to happen and would look on them in love if they did to decide to walk away. But Peter doesn't. Of all the disciples, Peter says, "Where are we going to go?" Peter says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Not what can we turn to, or where can we turn to? It's who can we turn to? This is a very relational statement that Peter makes. The relationship with Jesus is one that Peter knows cannot be replaced with anything. And how often do we try to do that? We fill our lives with physical things. We live in a material society without a doubt. And we try to find happiness in those material things. We try to find salvation through nice things, through our own success, through our own labor. Resting on our own finances and our own material things for joy and salvation, rather than the one who truly brings salvation and joy. So the disciples that walk away in this gospel really aren't that much, we're not different from them. And at the same time, we're also not different from the ones that stick around. We put these disciples up on platitudes. We believe that they are above human normalcy, that they are saints. Heck no, they weren't. Just like you and me, they flow in and out of belief. It's okay. It's okay. We all know that in our lifetimes. There have been times where we've doubted. Of course there is. If you haven't, you're not human. There are questions that you've had. There are questions that I've had. There are times where we feel like we've believed in vain, where we feel like God was not with us, where God wasn't present with us. But here we are. Because by God's abundant grace, through the work of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we know in the depths of our soul, to whom can we go? It is Jesus who has the words of eternal life. True or false, God binds himself to us and us to him through the person of Jesus Christ. True. May we be reminded of that this day as we once again take the bread into our hands and sup on Jesus' very being through the sacrament of bread and wine. And may his life be so intertwined with ours, and ours in his, that we are forever his disciples. Amen.